his gift and his teaching. Gracious God, again, we just thank you and praise you for this morning. To be able to sing these beautiful songs, to just see the kids' video, to see the joy in the kids' hearts, to be reminded that the angels were excited, the angels were laughing, they were joyous. And Lord, we ask that you just to anoint Larry with your spirit for delivery of this message. We're confident that you've already done that in the preparation. And Lord, we pray now for ourselves that your spirit might speak to our hearts and we might just understand, appreciate, be overjoyed even more about the wonder of the resurrection and Jesus being alive. We look forward to this in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Graham. Good morning, everybody. I'm a bit moved this morning. I came here not feeling too confident about this message and not feeling great about last week's either, and feeling pretty weak and hopeless kind of all around in life lately. And on my way in here this morning, a few people took a moment to really encourage me and thank me for last week's message, and they made a specific point that they had been praying for today's message. And then Graham's prayed for me twice this morning, and one of our songs has touched on the themes, some of the themes that I've been preparing, and I really felt God's encouragement in that. This is the message for today. And I wasn't feeling too confident about it for a lot of reasons, but I'm going to raise some questions I don't necessarily have clear answers to. And the fact that I've been a bit down lately is probably going to come through in some of the message. And it's Easter Sunday, should be a celebration and all the rest of that, but this is where I am. And this is what I'm going to talk about, you know. We've been saying that things are not always how they appear. And on Friday, we thought about how those words apply to Jesus' death. Things aren't what they seem like when Jesus dies on the cross. And for today, we want to ask about his resurrection. And actually, what about our lives now in light of Jesus' death and resurrection? Because things are not quite what they seem in those areas either. So Jesus' death, of course, it looked like the end of God's kingdom, the defeat of God's Son. You know, the world got its way in its rebellion against God. Satan triumphed with God's Son on the cross. Nothing could have made him happier. Jesus' death looked like God's judgment against him. He was tried. He was accused and tried and executed as a false Messiah. He got what he deserved, it would have appeared. His enemies were right, and they won. But in reality, we know that Jesus won the war in his death. His defeat was really his victory. He died for the sins of his people. And that means that Satan no longer has a hold on them. And that means that the world can be saved from its own rebellion against God. And that's us that I'm talking about. Jesus died for us. He did take God's judgment on himself, absolutely. But it was not God's judgment against him as a false Messiah. Rather, it was God's judgment against us, which Jesus took on himself as the true Messiah. And that is all proven by Jesus' resurrection from the dead. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and Graham read for us before, if Christ is not raised, your faith is useless. If Jesus had died and stayed dead, nothing would have been accomplished. Everything would have been exactly how it seemed. But instead, God raised him to life, and now he rules the universe at God's right hand. And now I've got some questions. If this is what Jesus' resurrection means, And Jesus rules the universe at God's right hand as the risen Lord. Then things really aren't how they seem they should be. If Jesus' death and resurrection were his victory over death, why do we still die? If it was his victory over sin, why do we still sin? If it was his victory over the world, why does the world still hate him and us? And if it was his victory over Satan, why is Satan still at it? Jesus' resurrection, his conquering the grave and taking up his rightful place as king, that really seems like it should be the end. But things are not always how they seem. Jesus is the Lord of the universe who can accomplish all of his goals by his own mighty hand, and yet he tells us to do it. Go and make disciples of all nations. And surely I am with you, even to the end of the age. And I guess if King Jesus, the resurrected Lord, is with us, as that verse says, if he is with us, then it seems to me we should be able to march triumphantly across the globe and bring all things under his rule without any trouble. That's what it seems like, but things aren't as they seem. Following Christ, being sons and daughters of God, that sounds like it should be a good deal, doesn't it? The Bible says that he heals our wounds and he cleans away our sins and he makes all things new. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. And God's power is a lot of power, isn't it? So it seems like it should be smooth sailing for us. But here we are. And it's not. The Bible, in places like Romans 6 or Colossians 1, it says things like, "You have been set free from sin. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness." So that's that, right? No more wrestling with sin? Set free? Rescued from darkness? But those exact same books tell us that we must not let sin reign in our lives, and we must put to death our immorality and evil desires and greed and rid ourselves of anger and malice. So which is it? It seems like if we're made new and set free, then we don't have to fight that fight anymore. But we do. I suppose if Christ has won everything, then we don't have any worries or troubles anymore. We should be all happy and healthy all the time. Indeed, Paul told the Philippians that he had learned the secret of being happy in all circumstances. He told the Thessalonians, "Rejoice always." But this is the same Paul who writes about his constant sorrow and anxiety and tears. Our life as Christians is not what it seems in many ways. And these are just a few examples. Everything is paradox and irony, and nothing is exactly what it seems or what it seems like it should be. And how about that mission of ours, making disciples of all nations? I mean, again, with Jesus at the right hand of God, that seems like it should go smoothly. With his promise to be with us, it seems like we should be unstoppable. And with our message being that God loves you and forgives your sins, you would think that people would be happy to hear it. And you'd think that we'd be happy to speak it. But often, we're not. And they're not. Paul says the gospel is foolish and scandalous to the world. He says that what smells like a life-giving aroma to us smells like death to them. Paul said the gospel is the power of God for salvation, but we who believe God's power is unlimited often don't trust that gospel enough to tell it to someone and let it do its work. And when we do, They don't want to hear it. Light came into the world in Christ, but the darkness rejects it. People would rather have darkness and death than light and life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And people would rather keep sinning and earn that wage of death than trust Jesus and get that gift of life. In all this, we have what Paul called treasure in jars of clay. What looks fragile and dirty and worthless is not. Things are not what they seem. People often say all that glitters is not gold, but it's also true that all that is gold does not glitter. When Paul reflects on what he might boast about as a servant of God, he doesn't boast about a 10,000-person megachurch. He says he was imprisoned, he was beaten, he was whipped, stoned, and shipwrecked, sleepless, hungry, cold, anxious, and weak. If I must boast, he wrote in 2 Corinthians 11, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. In the next chapter, he wrote, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And I want to learn that from Paul. This Easter morning, I'm reflecting on all these implications of Jesus' death and resurrection in our lives and what they mean for you and for me. And I can tell you that I am weak. I feel hopelessly weak about pretty much everything right now. So somehow that should mean I'm strong. Somehow I can rejoice like Paul did. He described himself as sorrowful but always rejoicing. There's a paradox. Sorrowful, but always rejoicing. I feel weak, and I bet you do too. You're all going through things as well, and now I've made it worse because you're all going to be worried about me. I feel weak. You feel weak. There is a way forward for all of us. There is only one way. We need to learn it from Paul. Our only hope and our only strength is in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Nothing else matters. Where can we go now in our weakness? The foot of the cross and the open door of Jesus' empty tomb.